Today. If I haven't met you, my name's Drew. Ray Soza is sitting in the back. He and I are pastors here at Good News, and we've got a bunch of volunteers. We've got a bunch of leaders in the room, and I say it about every week, but you know, as I look around, almost everybody here, pretty much everybody has just finds a thing to do. They come in, how can I help? How can I serve? And so it's just a great church. It's a family. Every church is a family. We're part of the larger family of God. This is one little, this is an outpost of the family of God here at Elixir Brewing. And I sometimes I neglect to say, but we're so grateful for Elixir Brewing. They are gracious and generous. They're so great to partner with. They love having us here. We love being here. And so Chad and Ryan are the owners here. We're just grateful for them. A couple things real quick before I get into the message. We're bolstering up our resource table in the back, so just free resources. Just want to give you a heads up. If you like the little daily devotional, Our Daily Bread, the new one is out there. It's for September, October, November. So you got 90 days up there. It's also an app. So if you go to the App Store, pull up Our Daily Bread or ODB, and you can listen to the audio. It's a great little, probably a 8 to 10 minute resource of just helping you stay in God's Word, which is the most important thing in our lives, is to connect with God on a regular daily basis as much as possible. There's also, I was cleaning out bins and I found these, a prayer resource guide. I put these together years ago. But if you're like me and you just, you know, you kind of get lost praying, this is helpful. So pick up a prayer resource guide. It's at the back table. It's also on our website. Like, we have got a resource page on our website. It has all kinds of random resources, but this is there too. But you can pick up a hard copy. Be aware of that. Let's see. Happy birthday to Tony Trendle. Where's Tony? Tony Trendle. Happy birthday. Today's the day. We're grateful for Tony. Tony doesn't want me to say anything about him today, but it's his birthday. But listen, Tony literally was Jesus this past week. We have a friend, and he's visited the church. He's almost 80 years old, but he's had some issues with his feet. And he asked me, he called me Friday, and he said, "Hey, can I get somebody to come over here? He's got neuropathy and diabetes." He said, "I think I've got an open sore on the bottom of my foot. I need somebody to look at it." And Tony was available, and he said, "I'll go over." And he went over, and he looked at and diagnosed, got on the phone, scheduled an appointment with a podiatrist for Monday. He was there for several hours, washed his feet, wrapped, bandaged, you know, took care of him. I thought, that's what Jesus did. And Tony literally had an opportunity to do that. I know he doesn't want any mention of that, but it just blessed me so much, the availability of people in our church and Tony making himself available, walking into kind of an unknown situation and just being a blessing. So thank you, Tony. Happy birthday. We love you. What else do I have here? Random things. John Hightower. He could use, I know you guys helped build a shed, but if anybody, he's trying to get on top of his lawn, and they've had a ton of stuff going on. He came in this morning and had to run out to take his daughter to the hospital. She's having some issues and has been having some issues the last couple weeks. So he borrowed a lawnmower, his lawnmower conked out, borrowed a lawnmower, and the grass is so high, it's taken him like a few days, and he's working two jobs. So if anybody has the spiritual gift of mowing lawn and getting on top of stuff, just let me know and I'll direct you to John. I think that's it. Okay, here we go. We'll transition. We've been in a series this summer, Psalms, Proverbs, and Parables, and it's been a lot of fun. Today we're having communion, and as I was thinking, though, what are we going to do? Something, we've done Proverbs, we've done, you know, something from Psalms and something from some of the parables. We may do a parable next week and kind of wrap that up. And then we're going to start into Romans after Labor Day. But I just have been thinking about being abundantly blessed. And at first I was going to go Psalm 95. Then I was going to go Psalm 96. And then in Bible in 1 year this past week, it was Psalm 103. And I've always loved Psalm 103. And I said, we're going to camp out on Psalm 103. We're just going to do the first half, verses 1 through 13. Because I want us to enter into this time of communion. It is a celebratory meal. As Rip mentioned earlier, it is the Thanksgiving meal of the family of God. And, you know, for me growing up in church, communion was always very somber. It felt like a funeral. And I know it was the Last Supper. Jesus, you know, pointed, he redirected Passover to say, everything on this table points to me. And then he went off and he was crucified for us. But then he resurrected. So we look back and it is a celebration of life. It's a celebration of joy. God invites us to his table. How amazing is that? These rebellious, sinful, you know, kids. He says, now come, sit at the table. Let's feast together. So that's communion. So I wanted today just to revel in God's goodness and his blessing. And I needed a little bit of a kickstart reminder of this. And so I want this to be a kickstart reminder for all of us. I sent an email out this past week. There are a few questions, just kind of responsive for us to be thinking about and reflecting on the different aspects of God's goodness, the different aspects of God's faithfulness. So the message today is going to be a little different. It's going to be interactive. And just like we passed the mic at the beginning of the service, we'll have an opportunity. There's six questions that just say, hey, if you had a chance to think about it, maybe you've got something that you want to say. If you haven't had a chance to think about it, you can respond in the moment. If you do, just try to keep it very brief so we can keep moving. But and I've got some people have emailed who said, hey, if you don't want to talk into the mic, you can email me your answers. And I had a few people do that. So I can read some of the answers that came in, but I think you'll be blessed by this morning as we go. So, I forgot to mention. So this was the sunrise this morning. I was out at Lake Lanier, took my dog out, watched the sun come up. I listened to the song, Bless the Lord, 10,000 Reasons that we just sang. I had that in my earphones while the sun's coming up. You know, the sun comes up, it's a new day, dawn. I'm like, I had my church already. So I'm here for you guys. I've already, you know. But I changed my I was in the shower getting ready and the message title was Abundantly Blessed. And then I thought, no, I got the sunrise. I'll do that. We'll do, how about instead of the song Walking on Sunshine, we'll go with Walking in Sunshine. By the way, do you guys know that song, Walking on Sunshine? Do you know who sings that song? I had no idea. I thought it was somebody I would know, but it's Katrina and the Waves. That's it. Katrina and the Waves put that out, made, you know, multi-millions of dollars, I'm sure, and now they're walking on sunshine. But we're walking in sunshine, the blessing and the goodness of God. So I'm basically going to go like one or two verses at a time. The first half of this message, there's going to be opportunity for interaction, and then the second half, I'll land the plane, and we'll transition into communion, okay? By the way, the elements, you can tell, are at your tables, the bread, there's little juice bottles, cups. If you're one of those, like, I need to have wine for my communion, then there is wine, right? Yeah, where is it? It's in the car?
No, it really is at the bar.
Oh, at the bar. I thought you said it's in the car. Yeah, so there's wine at the bar. So is it open? Okay, so do they go over and serve themselves? Do we trust them that much? Okay, JJ. Okay, so it's fine. If you prefer wine instead of juice, then go for it. JJ will be your bartender. But here, let's dive into Psalm 103. This is beautiful. A Psalm of David. I was talking to my dad, who was a pastor for 60 years and retired a few years ago, but he said, you know, Psalm 103 is one of the few psalms, there are only a handful, where there are no requests. It's just all praise. And maybe that's why I love it so much. And you love it if you know it. You'll know it a little bit more today as we go through it. So here we go. And the first two verses that we read this morning that Rip read for us are the first two verses of this Psalm 103. It says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You know, we could stop the text right here and just spend the whole rest of the time talking about the benefits that God lavishes on us in Christ. But I thought, hey, let's see what that sounds like for you guys. And so this is where we got some mics. If any of you have any prepared answers, or as you think about what have been some of the benefits of walking with God? What have been some of the benefits of knowing the Lord? As you think about the before and after of your life, and be brief, but what's, it could even be one word, you know, but let's, and if you don't have anything, that's fine, because I've got some stuff, a few things that I can read that people have sent in, but I'm going to do, we got six questions, so give you an opportunity to do a little interaction. What are some of the benefits? What comes to your mind? What is a benefit of walking in relationship with God?
Being drawn to truth.
What'd you say?
Being drawn to truth.
Being drawn to truth. Good. Yeah.
Salvation.
Salvation, absolutely. He guides our steps in righteousness. What'd you say? Forgiveness of sin. Man, you guys are on it. This is good. Yeah, we get to share it. We get to participate in being life givers. Yeah. Good. Couple that came in, I'll read. Benefits of walking in relationship with God. He's my rescue from the abuse of my past. He's my rescue from my own sin. And he just loves me even when I don't deserve it. That's a benefit. To know that I have a Heavenly Father who holds me secure in the palm of his hand provides a peace that truly does surpass all understanding. That's a benefit. There are great benefits. So think about that this week. I'm going to keep rolling. How's that? Next one. Who forgives? We talked about this. He forgives all your iniquities, forgives all your sins. So what difference does it make in your daily life to know that you are totally forgiven by God, past, present, future? If you're like me, you may not think about that all that much. But what kind of benefit is it to know that you have been pardoned? There's nothing that's going to separate you from the love of Christ because of what he's done for us. So what are the benefits? What comes to your mind? What do you experience of just knowing that you're totally forgiven?
Freedom.
Freedom. Yes. Yes. Our sin is great, but his grace is greater. Anything else?
Security.
Peace. What else?
Security.
Yes. Yeah. This was submitted. Freedom, as was mentioned. I feel loved and free. You know, you can't put a price tag on that. There are a lot of people walking in this world that do not feel those things. And even knowing the truth, we forget those things, right? We find ourselves feeling enslaved, feeling bound by whatever it is, bound by worry, bound by fear. No, Jesus came to set the captives free and to give us life and life abundant. So there's incredible blessing to forgiveness. Here's one. To know that I'm totally forgiven keeps me from wallowing in shame and guilt and always opens the door for me to walk in joy. If I'm not walking in joy, it's my own fault. This morning I read in Bible in 1 Year. I'm making a plug for it. I think it's called now The Bible with Nikki and Pippa. They're from London, England. If you need a daily Bible reading app, that's the one I recommend. There are, like I said, there are a lot of good things that everybody, but since I got the mic, I just promote the stuff that I use. But here's what it said today. I just thought this was so, so good. Talking about freedom that we find in forgiveness. It says this: the Spirit of the Lord brings radical freedom to our lives. Freedom from legalism, guilt, shame, condemnation, self-hatred, and self-rejection. Freedom from the power of sin, selfishness, manipulation, and control. Freedom from the fear of death. That's a big one. And the fear of what others think of us. That's another big one. Freedom from comparing ourselves with others. You're free to know, love, and serve God. You're free to use your life and energy to love others. And you are free to be yourself. You don't have to pretend. Isn't that great? Freedom from the forgiveness that we have in Christ. Next one, who heals all your diseases? He heals all your diseases. You know, a lot of times we think, oh, well, what do? I have a friend who died of cancer, or Patricia's daughter has cancer now. Well, you know, this friend who had cancer, I remember Jimmy had pancreatic cancer, died from cancer. You know, we have lots of friends and family who get diseases and, well, he wasn't healed or she wasn't healed. Well, ultimately they are. They have a heavenly body and they walk into glory. But think about this. When you get a cut on your leg or something, or you get sick, you heal. Your body naturally heals. He's healing us all the time. Like, unbelievable how your body just heals. You know, your knee hurts or your elbow hurts, or Ethan was talking about his shoulder. You know, your shoulder's going to start to feel better at some point because God's our healer. So how have you experienced God's healing in your life? It could be physical healing. It could be spiritual healing. It could be relational healing. How have you experienced God's healing in your life?
10 years ago, I had osteomyelitis and had cut my jaw away. Put a plate in, and I had to have a bone graft. When it took me in to do the bone graft, amazingly, the bone had grown back, and the doctor had never seen that before.
Oh, wow. So 10 years ago, you had part of your jaw cut away, and you didn't think. Say that, repeat that real quick.
I said that when I was supposed to have a bone graft.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they went to do the bone graft, they didn't have to because all the bone had been replaced and was actually, my jaw was in perfect shape.
Wow. Unbelievable. Praise God. What else? Any other stories? Yeah, Danny.
God saved me from drugs and alcohol, completely changed me and renewed me.
Absolutely. Praise God.
I'd say he healed me because I used to be miserable. You know, I was. Believe it or not, I used to be miserable. I'm not at all. Yeah. And I've been battling, addiction and all sorts of stuff. But, years ago, I was wanting to call it quits. I never did.
Yeah.
But I'm happy today.
That's great. Yeah.
When I was drinking, I went to the hospital and they said I had liver disease. And by the time I got to the gastroenterologist, my liver was completely healed.
Wow. So. Wow. There's great stories in this room. We've been through a lot. And we've experienced a lot, God's touch in our lives. This came in. He's changed my mind about many things that I never thought I could change. The healing started in my heart and mind, and it flows to the rest of my body. This one, if I didn't have a relationship with Christ after having gone through a rejection and abandonment of divorce, I'm not sure I would have been able to live the rest of my life without being eaten up by bitterness, anger, and depression. But knowing Christ enabled me to believe that even my divorce was a part of God's good plans for me and enabled me to find healing, restoration, and joy. God's healing in our lives. What a blessing. Let's see. Who heals your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction, from the pit? We are in the pit. There's nothing but darkness. Talk about walking in sunshine. He takes us out of total darkness and brings us into his marvelous light. That even when suffering, even when trials hit, we still experience the light of his love. That is a supernatural blessing, a supernatural gift. So how would you say, how have you experienced God's rescue from the pit of destruction? What's that look like for you?
Excellent running. Thank you, Dale.
Hey, Kyle.
When I was 18, I believe God had given me glimpses of frightful condemnation that I deserved and destruction in hell. And I had utter fear of that. I just had a clear understanding of what I deserved. And then I was introduced to the gospel and the gospel of grace through Christ. And I immediately felt rescued. And ever since then, every single day, I feel that he has rescued me from that. So it's very vivid to me.
Amen. Thanks for sharing. Yeah.
Microphone.
Yeah, just leave the mic on that table.
Dance mics.
So this was submitted. Wow, I was so lost without Christ. Psalm 40, verses 2 and 3 is true for me, that he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, has set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Can you relate to that? Think, you know, it's important to think about where God found us, because we forget. Remember where you were without Christ and how he came and pursued you. You chose him, but Amen. He chose you first.
Amen.
You chose him because he chose you. How does that make you feel? Humbled, grateful. God, why? Why did you choose me? There's nothing good that I bring. But you chose to set your love on me and pour out your grace on me. And it transforms our lives. It transforms our hearts. We're just standing under the waterfall of this undeserved, unconditional love and grace. That's what it is to be a Christian. It's not about what you do. It's about where you stand. You're standing under the waterfall of God's love and grace. And it affects you. And everything about you changes, and you notice it changing. God doesn't love you because your life has changed or it hasn't changed enough. It's not about what you do. He loves you because of what Jesus has done. In Christ, the perfect righteousness that he earned by living a perfect life has been credited to your account. When you're in Christ and God looks at you, he sees Jesus. He still sees you. You're uniquely and wonderfully, marvelously made in the image of God. But he sees that through the perfection of Jesus. He doesn't see your sin anymore.
Amen.
And I have to tell myself all the time, my sin is no longer an issue to God. And so stop making it an issue to me. I walk in shame, I walk in guilt, I walk in frustration. And it's like, God's going, why are you doing that? It's not an issue to me. Quit beating yourself up. Just keep your eyes focused on me and remember that you're loved and let that transform your heart. So, all right. Redeems you from destruction and from the pit. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. The word for loving kindness, let's see. Oh, I don't have it up there. But we've talked about it before. It's the word hesed. And it is the word, I think, holy could be another word, but hesed is just this word that describes absolute perfect loving kindness. The words mercy, the words compassion, it's all encompassing. That is who God is. He crowns you with loving kindness. When you think of the creator of the universe, when you think of a holy God, as Isaiah felt when he first stood in front of a holy God, he was terrified, and we should be, because God is holy and we're not. But David says here in Psalm 103, he has crowned us with loving kindness. He doesn't want us to be terrified where we'll run away from him. We need to be mindful of his holiness and his perfection, but he wants us to run to him. So he crowns us with loving kindness and compassion. Tender love is what he has crowned you with. And you walk in it and you wear that crown. And when God sees you, he's looking down. Let's just say he's looking and say, oh, there's a crown. That's one of my kids. He's got my crown of loving kindness that he's wearing. How have you experienced that? How have you experienced God's loving kindness, compassion in your life? I know we're kind of a little redundant in this. These questions are sort of hitting the same things, but maybe something new came to your mind since the last question we had. Anybody have anything?
I'm just thankful for other Christians in my life that remind me of God's love for me and who he is for me. And my girlfriend told me one day, she was like, you just need to go to daddy and ask him for stuff and give your heart to him. And I was like, I need to go to dad. So that's one
it's a good reminder.
About him. He's my dad.
That's good. Thank you, Kitty.
You know, how have I experienced God's love and kindness personally? You know, I've struggled so much, you know, since I came to Christ, so many times, and I still have the same job, the same people, the Christian family that loves me that I have left. I don't know how many times they brought me back. They're kind, you know, they give me the job. At Drew and Troy, my brother, anytime I've ever had a relapse, they never yelled at me or were harsh ever. Never. Drew came and picked me up. I just know that the way I've been loved by God's family is his loving kindness towards me himself. And it's just been incredible. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad. This was turned in. I'll keep rolling. I feel like he daily showers us with his kindness and compassion. At Good News Church, I experience God's kindness and compassion every week through my brothers and sisters. Praise God. Verse 5, who satisfies your years, or your mouth, different translations, with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Basically, God's provision. He satisfies your years. Have you had satisfying years since coming to know Christ? What does that look like for you? What good things have you experienced from God? How have you experienced life satisfaction from the Lord? Anything come to mind? Yeah, Tom, right behind you, Dale.
Some of the darkest points in my life, when it was hard to find love in other people, etc., I found solace in the fact that I have God's love. Uh-huh. And all around you. It's not hard to find.
Yeah.
Open your eyes, open your ears.
It's good.
It's there.
Good. Thank you, Tom. Yeah. This was submitted. No matter what my doubts were, he sustains me. I can take his promises to the bank, not so much with people all the time, but with walking with God in obedience. Another, new life, new friends, new everything. Drop the mic on that one, right? That's good. And then godly friendship, a band of brothers, encouragement received weekly, love exchanged. God satisfies our lives with his love. All right, I'll turn the corner, going to verse 6 and 7. Thank you for sharing, you guys. That was great. Thank you. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He makes known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of God. So God is just. He's just. What is justice? Justice is when we get what we deserve. So I've used this illustration before, but I'll do it again so you can kind of, you know, tell the difference. Justice is, you get punched in the mouth, what's justice? You punch the person in the mouth who punched you in the mouth. Eye for an eye, that's justice. But God is just. He executes righteousness and justice for those who are oppressed. So if you have suffered injustice in this life, and you're waiting for justice, you may or may not see it in this life. But God has promised you will get justice. Nobody's going to get away with doing people bad. They can come to him, and there's grace and mercy when we come to him. But when we stay outside of him, and we're ruining other people, and we're acting without justice, God will inflict, and he will do what's right. And that evildoer that has done you dirty will get what they deserve. God is just. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. That's that same word, hesed, abounding in loving kindness. God is merciful. He's merciful. He's just, and he's merciful. What is mercy? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Not getting what we deserve. So if somebody punches you in the mouth, what's mercy? You don't punch them in the mouth. That's mercy. They don't get what they deserve. He will not always accuse, verses 9 and 10. He will not always accuse us, nor will we harbor or keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. That's good news right there. He hasn't dealt with us according to our sins. He has not given us what we deserve. He's given us what we don't deserve. That's grace. That's the difference between mercy and grace. Mercy is you don't get what you deserve. Grace is you get what you don't deserve. So what's the illustration there? You get punched in the mouth, you give the other person an ice cream cone. They're like, what? What? Or a $100 bill. What? I don't deserve that. Do you know that is the thing that changes our hearts? When we experience that from God, when we realize we are the ones that punched him in the mouth, that happened at the cross. We're guilty. He didn't punch us in the mouth. He didn't do nothing. He gave us his son, poured out his love, gave us his righteousness, lavished us and called us, adopted us into his family and called us sons and daughters. How's that for grace? When we get that, it changes everything. For a long time in my life, I experienced grace after grace after grace, and I didn't see it. I was entitled. I had a total lack of appreciation. I just kept going. And it wasn't until I got to the end of my rope, I had an incredible restlessness in my heart. God did that. And I began to see his grace, and I began to respond to it. That's God's work. He's gracious. Verse 11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving kindness, his hesed, towards those who fear him. Great is his love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. What sin? God, please forgive me for what sin? It's gone. He has no account of your record, past, present, or future. He just sees Jesus. Forgiveness. And then verse 13 is where we'll end on this. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. We've talked about fear in Proverbs for a couple of weeks. Fear is just awestruck wonder. Father has compassion on his children who fear him. Yeah, there's terror too, in a sense, because of his holiness. We go, I don't deserve to be anywhere near your presence. But that fear mingles with love. And it came to me a few weeks ago. We were doing takeaways, and I said, here's an easy way to remember fear. What is the fear of the Lord? Sometimes it's hard to, what is that? And I said, you know, like a dog says bow wow, fear is wow bow. Like, wow, bow, awestruck wonder. God is so good. And that's his goodness that draws us to him. And then I'm going to add a verse to end this with. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20 says this. Everything we have just read and heard. Oh, I forgot. Go back to that. I forgot about that slide. Abundantly blessed by God. Here's what we get. It's what God gives us. We have companionship with God. He's our defender. We have eternal life. All these things, many of them. He's our faithful friend. He's generous. He's good. He's gracious. He's our healer. He gives us joy. We're loved. He listens to us, lavishes us with his mercy. He's patient. We have peace. We have power to overcome sin and temptation. He protects us. He provides for us. He gives us purpose for living. We're no longer in a boat without a rudder. We're reconciled to him. We're redeemed. We're rescued. We're restored. We're saved. We're shepherded. We're shielded. I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg of what we have in him. So all of these things find their fulfillment where? 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 says, no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ Jesus. Every promise of God, and there are a lot of them, all throughout the Old Testament, speaking of God's faithfulness and everything we've read, even this morning, they all find their yes in Jesus. Everything points to Jesus. Christians are narrow-minded because Jesus is the only way. How many ways do you need? Everyone's invited. If there was any other way, Jesus wouldn't have been necessary. He would have said, oh, go that route. But he didn't do that. It's the only way. So he said, I will be the way. I will be the truth. I will be the life. I will be your salvation. I will shed my blood. I will give my body for you. That's good news.